Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Are you one of nearly 3 in 10 men experiencing erectile dysfunction? Why not have a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist about Cialis for Men 10 milligram film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil, now available without prescription in pharmacies nationwide. Find out more at cialisformen.ie. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label.
Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? Mark Megan's Weekly Roast is proudly sponsored by Cialis for Men, helping you get and keep an erection whenever you need it. If the idea of walking into a pharmacy makes you feel a bit awkward, don't sweat it. Pharmacists have heard it all before. Nearly 3 in 10 men have dealt with ED at some point. So, you're far from alone. Just have a quick, quiet chat, grab what you need, and walk out with your head held high. Figuratively, of course. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity contains tadalafil. Always read the label. Speaking of sexual activity, I'm here with Mystery Mick.
Hello, Mark.
How are we, Michael?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm just back from Barcelona.
I missed you.
Did you?
I did.
I had a good time. Barcelona is a fabulous place. If there's one thing I love when going for a continental lunch on a crowded piazza in sunny Europe, it's when a gang of guys come into the square with a ghetto blaster and start constructing some sort of human totem pole in an urban acrobatics. Do you know what I mean? Playing music that wouldn't be fit for Guantanamo. You know those lads?
I'm with you, yeah.
I'm not impressed.
No.
They start getting the clap along and they're trying to get it's basically just like crack cocaine for white people. Street entertainment. Boring, bland street entertainment with a bunch of aggressive lads shouting and like doing like cartwheels on each other's necks. I don't care that you can stand on your mate's head. Do you know what I mean? I'm bored. No, I won't. You're passing a bucket hat around. No, I want to go back to my beige bolognese, please. Leave me.
Potatoes bravas.
Okay, we get the claps going. No, I'm not going to clap. And the rhythm of this audience, by the way, a dyspraxic cat sitting down at a drum kit for the first time, attempting the solo in the air tonight, would be more rhythmically in tune than these Swedish gobshites in their North Face fucking suits as they're strolling around Barcelona in 20 degree heat. Do you know what I mean? Anyway. Back from Barcelona. It was a great time. As you know, Michael, Mystery Mick, by the way, is joining us again. He's been with us recently and we've come to an agreement. I don't want to set anything in stone, okay? But let's just say there's been an agreement agreed in blood. Brilliantly executed there, that delivery of that sentence. There's an agreement wherein if Michael makes me laugh out loud, okay, we will sign a contract and become full-time assistant producer of the Weekly Roast. Let's go. That's the deal. If he makes me laugh out loud at any point in this episode or a future episode, he's on the show full time. Okay. If not, goodbye. I'm also not doing the wedding. Michael had asked me.
We're going. Okay.
Are we bringing that up?
Yeah, let's go.
Michael's asked me to be the officiator of his wedding. Let's go. Isn't that lovely? Next July
can't
in
wait.
Portugal.
Yeah, can't
just
wait.
Going down. Yeah, we wanted to get away, but like we didn't want to do anything too obvious. So we're in Valdelobo. I think Rob Carr. Anyway,
yeah, Kate, no. Yeah, nice for yourself.
Okay. If you ever. Anyway, I'm back from Barcelona. Had a great time, but look. Before we begin the roast of priests, okay? Well, the roast of funny stories about priests. I do want to talk to you about something.
Okay.
Because as we've openly discussed already in the podcast, we wouldn't be famous for our restraint.
No.
You know,
no.
We are two men who somewhat struggle when it comes with impulsivity, might we say.
To say the least, yes.
There was a buffet in the hotel, okay? Obviously, I've been since, well, for the first 11 weeks of the year, I was sort of off sugar.
You were killing it, yeah?
I was doing okay.
Yeah, you were doing great.
And then I sort of started noticing a difference in the way that I looked, got too confident, and then I'm now just like binging. And like my relationship with food, much like my relationship with everything, the world around me and myself, my thoughts is relatively fucked up, right? Yeah. So now I'm just like this, the pendulum is keep swinging between, I don't know what to how to eat. Anyway, I went to the buffet in the hotel. And as is always, as is customary whenever I visit a buffet, I like walk in and I say to myself, right, Mark, you don't need to pick out. Just because it's there doesn't mean you need to have it. Do you know what I mean? Why don't you just get some fruit? Have a little glass of orange juice and those little thimbles that they leave. That you've drank by the time you get back to your fucking table. And then I start with the fruit. Well, I'll just have some fruit salad. And then, you know, the person comes around to say, would you like to order from the kitchen, the hot food? And you're like, oh, well, I could not. Like, we're paying for it. It's 30 quid each. So, yeah, grand. I'll have some eggs. All the while you're looking at those sort of the livestock grazing on 15 hash browns and churros and all the rest. And you're like, look at those animals, pigs at the trough.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not like those. I'm just going to have an omelette. I'm a fucking fitness guy. And then you're like, well, actually, now we have spent the money, so I should probably get like a pan au chocolat. Do you know what I mean? I ended up getting a plate of churros. Churros. That's like your rock bottom food-wise. Like I've said this before in the podcast, churros are the graveyard of nutrition. That's where nourishment and good health goes to die. Rumour has it that if you showed Sophie Morris a plate of churros, she'd go into anaphylactic shock and have to be carried out of Dunn Stores on a fucking gurney. They'd have to just put two trolleys together with duct tape and strap Sophie's sort of Jesus Christ style down into the car park in Coronel's Court. I'm here in Dunn's, dying. Sophie Morris. Sophie Morris is the greatest thing to happen to Instagram since they extended the limit of voice notes and Mark Meegan started doing the roast again, and that's the game.
That's the game.
Sophie Morris is like Dale Winton. No, she's nothing like Dale Winton, in fact. Shout out Dale Winton. Do you remember Supermarket Sweep?
Supermarket Sweep.
90s TV show for when you fake sick.
Yes.
And the idea was that you'd go in and you could just fill your trolley with as many things. They recently tried to bring it back in Ireland, but they had to cancel it because it was being filmed in Dunn's. And after one episode, they'd spent 1.6 million. Three people tried to do a weekly shop. Just a bit of gags about the cost of living crisis. Nevertheless, anyway, Sophie Morris. Let's go. I had churros. That's the story. I had churros and then I had a sausage bap. Which is also just complete. It's the worst of both worlds. A brioche bap and sausage. You're getting literally sweet and salt. It's just... Oh.
Something to look forward to. At least we're doing a churro cart at our wedding.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I can
actually... in the corner stuff in your face.
Do you know what really makes me sick there? The fucking font. The font of those sort of weddings. And some people will know what I'm talking about. That sort of like squiggly... Oh, yeah. It's the live, laugh, love font. Anyway, long story short, I was leaving the buffet to go back upstairs and drown in a sea of grease and self-pity. And I saw a Spanish man. This is the real insult to injury moment. I saw a Spanish man sitting like in the lobby waiting to go upstairs. And guess what he was eating?
Go on.
A piece of Bourneville. He was eating a Bourneville chocolate bar.
In Spain. He brought the Bourneville to Spain with him.
Stop letting logic get in the way of the gag.
Sorry.
You fucking pedantic bastard. Nevertheless, the man was sitting there eating a There should be a governmental register for people that eat Bourneville chocolate of their own volition. That's when you have to hand over the hard drive. That's when you have to alert the authorities if you're within 100 metres of a school. If you're eating Bourneville... Like what, were they sold out of cooking chocolate? Do you know what I mean? Bark. How could you ever go, I'm in the mood for Bourneville? Nonsense. It's like that era we were in about 6 years ago where everybody started buying chocolate by the percentage. Will you fuck off? Oh, it's 98% and it's got sea salt in it. Good luck. Once you have to quantify your chocolate by numbers, it's the enjoyment. I want my chocolate to be chocolatey and my priests to be holy. Welcome back to the Holy Show. It's the weekly roast of funny stories about priests. I'm here with Mystery Mick and a Slippery. Let's get into it.
I went to college in Limerick and on the day of graduation, the priest who lectured us in theology was there. He knew us all well as the class groups were fairly small. He came up to a group of us and shook hands with my friends and I. We were all dressed in our finery, hats and gowns. He came over and said, "Co gorgeous." Unfortunately, my friend misheard him completely and was caught off guard. As she was shaking his hand, she replied to him saying, "You're gorgeous too." Needless to say, she's never lived it down.
Just complete insanity.
Ridiculous.
Why would that be the assumption?
Why is that the response, even if he did say that?
If it was a priest and he's telling you you're gorgeous, you call somebody.
You're gorgeous too?
Thank you very... You're gorgeous is not the response to a priest on your graduation going, you're gorgeous, you're gorgeous. Do you know what I mean? Thank you, Father. You're gorgeous too. This is complete insanity. Like, why is that the response? Did I ever tell you this is complete slop? Too early on in the podcast to be bringing out a story like this. But I was over in a friend of mine's gaff like years and years ago. I was about, I'd say 10. And I was in my era of like prank calls, right? Mm. So...
Last year, was it? He's back. He's permanent. Let's go.
Last Tuesday afternoon. That was a piteous. That wasn't a real laugh. Anyway, I'm in my friend's gaff, right? And I was like, give us your mum's mobile number.
Yeah.
And I'll give her a ring. So I ring his mum. She was from the north. I think she was from Derry, right? And I rang her and I was like, I just put on like a complete nonsense voice. I was just like, hello, GD? Right? And she goes, oh, is that you, Amahan? I was like, sorry? And she was like, is that you, Amahan? And my friend was like, there's a new cleaner. Turns out there's a new... They were getting a cleaner who was from the Philippines and whose name was Amahan. And I was like, yes, it's me, Amahan. And then she was like, oh, what about you, Amahan? I'll be home there in a wee while, probably only in 30 minutes. And I just don't know why I said this, but I was like, there is a man at the door. And she was like, all right, I don't think we're expecting anybody, Amahan. I'll be home there in a wee while. You wait there. He has a gun. Oh, fuck, Amahan, run out the back way. And she starts going crazy. Like, and obviously we burst out laughing and that was the end of the prank call. But I'm just like, what sort of man is going to have a gun and just walk through Sanimen and go there? Ding dong. Hello. Yeah, what's the story? I'm just a man here. By the way, I've got a gun. Do you know what I mean? I'm an armed assailant. That accent was fine. I'm an armed. I've been armed. I'm trying to read the room. Anyway, yeah, good luck. The priest wasn't gorgeous. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Mark. So I was getting married away from home from my locality. So I wasn't in the know of this priest at all. But we met him anyway about a year before that we got married. And he came across so nice and easygoing, so he was so open to like all the ideas that we had, including our non-religious songs, which I suppose many priests are picky about that. But all was great anyway until the evening before the wedding, when we came to the rehearsal for the church, and my dad was slightly late. He was across the road having a scone and a cup of tea as he was starving after the drive. Anyway, when my dad arrived, I got the vibe off the priest that he was none too pleased with what he's charging us. So he took him aside and said, this is rehearsal time, not tea time, in quite an abrupt tone. And I was like a little taken aback, but I wasn't too bothered by it. But oh my God, did he show his true colours on the day of the wedding. My sister, who was my bridesmaid at the time, she was suffering from panic attacks, and they just come on her like kind of all of a sudden, where her throat would begin to get like all dry and things like that. So it was at the time of the communion. So up she went anyway and took the communion, and she kept it in her hand until she was able to, I suppose, you know, receive the Holy Ghost. And the priest saw that she had not put it into her mouth, and he stopped the whole communion, left the other parishioners hanging at the altar, stormed down to my sister and asked angrily, what are you doing with it? You are committing sacrilege. And he took it off her. And all the while I was sitting at the top of the altar wondering what was going on. And I was like thinking, oh my God, what a nice priest. He's going down. He obviously sees that she's about to have a panic attack and is asking if she's okay. No, no. He was just being a big, massive arse, really. And also, my other bridesmaid, who was living in Wales, she came over to be my bridesmaid. She had an English fiance. And sure, he just strolled up for the communion as well. He didn't know what was going on because he wasn't a Roman Catholic or anything. He was like, oh, what's everyone up to there now? Lol. I'll stroll up to the communion as well. And obviously the priest saw that he wasn't like, you know, the hand gestures weren't appropriate for like taking communion. So he obviously knew that he wasn't used to taking communion. And he was like, do you receive? And he was like, no. And he was like, literally like just shooed him away. He's like, get out of here. You know, like a normal priest would probably just give him a blessing, like, you know. But anyway, after the communion, so the rest of the mass then was pure somber. The tone completely changed. And he was like, if people do not believe, they should not be coming up for communion. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is my wedding day. Like, lovely, lovely, lovely.
I'm sort of with the priest on this one.
As am I. I was expecting you to maybe say the opposite. I'm with them.
You don't stroll through a synagogue with a bacon sarnie.
No,
you know what I mean?
You really don't.
You don't sort of have the audacity to walk around Saudi Arabia in the middle of the day and do something as disrespectful as be a woman. Do you know what I mean? Woke comedy. 2025. Let's go. 63 million likes on Instagram. Zing, bitches. Don't know what that is. Anyway, hey. No, but you know what I mean? The priest is well within his rights. If you're in my house, play by my rules.
I don't get why young people are having religious weddings when they don't engage with any of the whole sacrimony of it.
So what do you think?
Get with the programme. Get Mark Meegan to do your wedding.
There you go. So are we not doing it? So it won't be religious then at all?
Well, unless you want to go through the 7 years to be ordained in between now and next June.
Nah, got a baby in the way, mate. Okay. I think, also, she says that her sister was her bridesmaid at the time. What happened?
I don't know. They must. She mustn't have made it back to the seat.
The whole thing is, I'm actually on the side of the priest, ultimately.
I also think the dad going for a scone.
Tea and scone is the biggest act of dad belligerent, sort of feigned
probably a four
aloofness.
Drive.
Do you know what I mean?
Ridiculous.
Just
absolutely ridiculous.
Grow up. Yeah. There's never an emergency wherein like a tea and scone is needed that quickly, unless Prue Leith has had a heart attack beside you and you need to revive the poor woman, where in case you get a scone with cream and jam on it and use them like those resuscitator things on her breasts.
Beautiful.
Each more delicate than the other. You untie the lace. Nevertheless. 40 virgins. Have you ever heard about that?
No.
40 virgins. Isn't that the idea with Islam? When you die, you get
40
virgins.
Oh, yes. Sorry, of course, yes.
Yeah, if you want to see 40 virgins, just go to Enoch Burke's 21st birthday party. Relevant, culturally relevant Irish comedy. Lads, did you hear about the feckin' Jesus? Only in feckin' Ireland would you imagine the feckin' Enoch Burke. Welcome back to the Weekly Rose. Okay. If you want to see 40 virgins, any other 40... If you want to see 40 virgins, you should have joined your nearest Irish man standing up and taking back what's ours with tricolours in the bio. Running club.
Running clubs?
I don't know. I've been in trouble with the priest once, really badly.
What did you do?
I was 12 years of age and I had an M&M CD in my bag and M&M was banned.
Yeah.
And the priest came in and he had a really thick Dundalk accent and he got up and made me, well, he took the booklet out of the CD and read the lyrics out to the entire class. And so he comes in, he grabs the CD, and it was the Eminem show, the opening single, which was the hit, was Lose Yourself. Mm-hmm. And he takes the booklet out and in his big, thick Dundalk accent.
No.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it? Or would you let it slip to your fingers like a water slide? Yo. His palms are sweaty. Knees weak. Arms heavy. Vomit on his sweater already. My mother made spaghetti. He is nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop a bomb. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. We just keep... with an 8 minute long song.
For the love of God, Oniva.
Hi, Mark. The day of our wedding was really, it was in Ireland, but it was really, really, really hot, like freakishly hot. And the priest was sweating, you know, pretty profusely, like we all were. But he, I don't know, maybe had a few pints the night before, so he was pretty extra sweating. And as the mass went on, the garments started, white garments started sticking to his body. At one stage, the best man leaned into my husband and said, "Geez, I hope he's wearing underwear." And he was, thank God, but that was all he was wearing. We saw, husband and I got a front row seat to the whole thing. So saw his nipples about halfway through the mass. There was fans everywhere. Everyone was laughing. It was mid-COVID as well. So it's probably brought an extra bit of madness to the day. But yeah. He was good crack, and didn't get any photos with him afterwards, obviously, because I didn't want to be anywhere near him with that amount of sweat, but it's good crack, and he's a nice priest.
It's good crack seeing a priest's nipples. I don't... What are your thoughts?
How sweaty was he? Priest garment aren't, you know, they're not like... I don't know, I'm very disturbed by this.
I'm not super au fait with the various brands of priest's robes. Surely this was one of the lower, like, the fact that it's going see-through with a light bit of perspiration.
Yeah, the sheen tunic is not, it's not great.
This is the ASOS. So whenever you see it online, it looks unbelievable. And then you get it, you're like, fuck, the nipples. Oh, the two things I was hoping wouldn't be visible. My nipples and cock and ball. Like, it's just not necessary. Surely there'd be a surely the left and right side of the cross would be covering the nipples. It's not the idea anyway. This is just bananas. And
also, yeah, why would he not be wearing underwear?
He was wearing underwear.
No, but
he was wearing, the priests don't wear bras.
But you'd wear boxers at least.
He was wearing underwear.
I thought they were worried that he wasn't going to be wearing. Like, no, why would that even?
She was worried because the sweat was spreading. Obviously, started nipple down, then went southerly.
Okay.
And then the concern was as it went down beneath the belly button that it was like, good God, like one of those scratch and sniffs. You know, it reveals more as it goes, and then like. I don't know.
I don't want to think about priests being scratch and sniff.
Okay, let's go.
Hi, Mark. Our local priest used to go to the local coffee shop and say he'd have a whore's breakfast. Brilliant. Which meant a coffee and a cigarette.
Good stuff. A whore's breakfast. Good stuff. He should be, what's the word, struck off after the first one? Sorry, brother or father, you're gone. This is completely, I'll have a whore's breakfast. Get out. How would you go into Cafe Nero and say that? Do you know what I mean? Hello, mate. What do you have? Just a whore's breakfast, please. Cool, the police are on their way. If that's the menu, change it. Do you know what I mean? I'll have a whore. Who, what cafe is selling cigarettes and coffee anyway?
A good cafe.
Yeah.
That was my breakfast for my 20s.
I just.
How are you, Kathleen? Whore's breakfast, please. What? How are you, father? No cock feast this morning, then, no? No, just a whore's breakfast. Like, what sort of cafe is this place? No, I'm still stuffed from the gigolo's bollocks I had yesterday, so just a whore's breakfast, please. No problem whatsoever, I'll have that right out here. Whore's breakfast, please, that'll do nice, Kathleen.
Like, it's just a cafe that operates in a place wherein it or operates a system where it's acceptable to order a whore's breakfast needs to rethink their whole. It's like, it's hard enough ordering these days. You know, my ongoing pet peeve are these, like, modern, fucking, excuse my language, Gen Z, like, spoofy, juicy. You know when you want to go in and get, whatever happened to be able to just get a smoothie?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, could I get the that one you have there in the wall, the orange, the passion fruit? Which one? You know the one there. It's just up, it's orange, passion fruit. They're the ingredients. Yeah, what's the name of it? I don't want to say it. What's the name of it? Could I get the Funky Monkey Disco Juice? Do you know what I mean? I don't want to say that. Just give me the juice. Oh, could I get, and do you want to eat anything? Yeah, would you give me just that cylindrical thing there, please? Just the little, what? Just that one there. Could I get the oatsy-doatsy protein puncher? Do you know what I mean? Just give me the thing. I hate that. Just call it what it is. Oh, guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for listening. I forgot to do any of the calls for action at the beginning of the show because I was too busy talking about the bloody buffet and Mystery Mix. So, of course, if you enjoy the podcast, if you're enjoying listening to it, could you do me these two huge favours? Firstly, will you actually make sure you click subscribe wherever you get your podcast, whether it's the Go Loud Player, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, just make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. That helps us a huge amount. Furthermore, if you do enjoy it, rate it or whatever. If you want to show support for the podcast, share it with a friend. It's the best way to help the show grow, and then we can achieve more of our bloody dreams. So I would wholeheartedly appreciate it if each and every single one of you sent it to one friend this week. And last but not least, my ego is as fragile as the underwear you get given in a massage parlor. You know, those little crepe papery ones. So please send me a message on Instagram if you enjoy the show. If you're enjoying the addition of Mystery Mick and his slippery wit, let me know on Instagram at MegaMark. Any tips or suggestions as to what you'd like roasted, you know what to do. Guys, it's great to be here. My favorite time of the week. Let us get to part two.
So I was at a family wedding in Spain. My dad's cousin was the priest, and he carried out the ceremony, and he's great crack. So he partied with us, obviously, after the wedding. At the afters, he partied with us all night, and we were walking home the next morning to like our apartments after the wedding party, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. We were walking up these gorgeous little Spanish streets, and there was all these like Spanish townhouses, and obviously we were being greeted by people like getting up in the morning, and we were walking home like in our clothes from the wedding. And next door, we were met with this Spanish woman in her doorway. Like, she'd no English at all. Yeah. But she saw the priest's neck collar, and she was like trying to lure him into the house. And we were like, what is going on? So I was with my brother, and we walked into the house with the priest. Tiny little old Spanish house. Like, it was like nearly like a studio apartment, all kind of in one room. And there was this like elderly Spanish woman on her deathbed, and we were like, oh my god, this is like horrendous. What are we even doing in here? But obviously she wanted the priest to like bless the woman that was dying. So he was trying to like, he was still pissed, and he was like, oil, like, and she's handing him all this stuff, and he's like trying to explain oil to her, obviously no English. And then eventually she grabs a frying pan off the kitchen, like the kitchen and this and the sitting room all leads into one. She grabs a frying pan and hands it to him, and he gave the woman on her deathbed her last rites with the oil out of a frying pan. Presuming it was olive oil, potentially cooked an egg, I don't know, but yeah, there's one for you for crazy local priests.
This is completely insane. It's just so completely insane on every single level.
I've no words for this at all.
Where do you even start? Oh, the priest loved the crack. He came out with us and was up with us until 8 a.m. He loves crack cocaine by the sounds of it. That is so beyond a couple of Vespers down the local. Do you know what I mean? Belting out the odd song. That is Szechuan. Like, that is you clambering home at 9 a.m. in the light, in the searing Spanish heat, and 9 o'clock in the morning, him still wearing the collar. And then, let's just get this straight. You're walking through the back alleys of Spain with these famously one-bedroomed houses, like a fucking scene from Cinema Paradiso. I know it's Italian, but still, like, and then this woman there, this is like a Dalmio ad, if it was directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Like, so this woman is there, and she tries to lure in the priest. Come, please. I mean, sorry, ballet. Por favor. And you go in, and there's this Spanish pensioner lying on her deathbed, more dehydrated than a forgotten packet of fucking Sun-Made raisins left at the bottom of your son's school bag for the duration of the summer break. She's lying there. Uno beso. Por favor. You have to kiss her, as is customary with the podcast. Any sleeping pensioner requires a kiss. And then you're asked to bless the woman with olive oil and convert her into what one can only assume is a human-side churro. That is effectively the churro's origin story. This woman lying on her deathbed getting... none of this could have happened.
There is absolutely no way this can be real.
How are you staying up all night with the priest? How is his collar staying on?
Why is he staying up?
Why are the three of you standing around this dying Spanish woman's... How the timing? How was all of that worked out that just as the woman's about to die, the Spanish woman is just standing in her doorstep sweeping, you know, and she's got a little tea towel over her head and she looks like it's sort of wind that shakes the barley set in Catalonia, do you know what I mean? And she's just there looking and she goes, oh, the priest, that's not Spanish, that's Italian. And Lord knows we do accents properly on this show.
Of course.
Let's go.
We do one thing.
Went to the local Christmas midnight mass as part of the choir when I was about 12, and the priest, who was quite far on in his old age at the time, was telling his version of the story of how Jesus Christ came about, and he made a nice addition that woke up a lot of the crowd, in which he described about how Mary and Joseph's relationship wasn't going so well. No. And Joseph was thinking of taking off and leaving Mary, but then he found out about the baby and he said, "You're, I'll have to stay and be a good man now." And the hot gossip at the time was that the priest was trying to make a dig at unwed families and single mothers by putting this out there. So there you go. That's our local priest.
In theory. Oh wait, did she say he was having a go at single women?
Yes.
Okay.
It was single mothers, unmarried families.
Okay. Yeah. That's no completely.
No. Go on with your theory.
No. No, that is completely unacceptable. I thought she meant he was having a go at at Guy's for absconding.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I think he was doing the other thing. I think he was shaming the women for the lads wanting to leave.
Oh, my God. Like, you see, the thing is, in a way, I'm almost like, okay, notwithstanding that, that's horrific, but, like, I'm not opposed to the idea of, like, if priests were to, like, you know, they talk about the Irish, the great big Irish language revival. Yeah. Can we just fucking revive it? We've been talking about this for about 17 years, this great big Irish language revival. Let's just start talking it rather than, you know, getting some gobshite to come on and go, what we need to do is revive. Yeah, we know that. Prue Leith's breasts have been revived quicker with my two scones. Anyway, I'm not opposed to the idea of, like, them sort of millennifying the sort of nativity or something. If that's their way of recruiting new followers and, you know, adding to their clergy or to their flock, you know, if they actually sort of Gen Z up the whole story of... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Like, if you were in a South Dublin church, for instance, and, you know, the guy wanted to appeal to the younger South Dublin generation. Yeah, so basically, like, Mary, she's, like, full-on wetter with, like, a serious rig. She was actually from Nazareth, but, like, didn't really hang around with the Nazareth girls at the market, like, or the local Stonings, do you know what I mean? She was more of a sort of, like, a Galileo gal. I think that's actually what they call their WhatsApp group. Until four of them were beheaded. But, like, yeah, basically Mary, she was just, like, not going to ride anyone, do you know what I mean? But then this, like, gay lad called Briel showed up at her gaff one day, and gay Briel was like to her, you know, oh, you're pregnant, by the way, like, it's happening. And then the lad that she was seeing, Joseph, like, I don't think her parents approved because, like, he never went to uni. I don't know what he did, but, like, he wore Snickers pants to work and stuff. I think he was good with his hands. And do you want to come to the mass? So stupid. This is, like, a complete, this is a galactic backward step in comedic terms for the show. Good God, Mystery Mick, you need to rein me in. Let's go.
Basically, the priest used to call into people's houses just to have a visit and, on one particular occasion, he produced a nail clippers and he decided to clip his nails while he was chatting away to us. Happened quite regularly. He also quite frequently took the remote without asking and put whatever he wanted on the TV. So, interesting sort.
So either you just come downstairs and your local priest is just watching the bumper episode of The Chase. What?
The channel changing is one thing. The nail clippers, though.
No, the channel changing is the least relevant thing I've ever heard. What's relevant is, why is the priest sitting in your fucking living room even watching TV? Why is that, like, a normal... The changing of the channel is so irrelevant.
Yeah.
His television remote etiquette is not up for a question here. It's the fact that, why is the priest sitting there in your set, on your settee, you watch... I don't know.
Did you never have a parish priest visit your house?
My house?
Your house.
My house? Your no, house. I didn't. Actually, no. No, I didn't.
Really?
Would that have been...
We had a few, yeah. Now, I and my sister are IVF, and I don't think the parish priest really trusted us all that much. He weren't really down...
Really?
Genuinely. Genuinely, yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
So I think he was keeping an eye on us. But no, we genuinely would have had a priest in the house every couple of months, just checking in for a cup of tea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And would he, like, watching TV wise?
Would he just clip his toenails and...
The clipping of the toenails. How does that keep... I feel like any episode we do, there's always one character who just somehow clips his toenails.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah, this is bananas.
The school that I teach in, everybody avoids, if they can, sitting in the chair opposite the staff room door, because when the parish priest makes his surprise visits, he goes straight for that chair and massages away the shoulder of whatever poor unfortunate is sitting there while he's having the chats with the rest of them, while they're all just relieved that it's not them. It's, like, horrifically creepy.
I mean, there isn't a universe wherein an unsolicited massage is acceptable.
It's disgusting.
It sounds like he's trying to turn the staff room into a stiff room. Am I right? So... Just write that one down there whenever I'm asked to present next year. It does. Oh, you can roast the audience. Yeah, that's bananas.
Anyone, priest or otherwise, who is overly touchy, I just want nothing to do with it.
Massage is inherently a sensual thing.
Oh, totally.
And I know lots of people say it's not and it shouldn't be and it's good for the soul. Of course it's good for the soul, but it's also people want to get their hole when they, like, lots of times people are thinking about their, there is not a dynamic wherein someone's been massaged and a sexual thought doesn't cross their mind at some point, whether it's wanted or unwanted,
totally,
whether it's intrusive or not. A sexual thought always traverses across the consciousness of somebody receiving and undergoing massage.
I'm with you.
That's the fact.
Yeah.
Personally, I can never relax when I get massages.
Can you not?
No, I don't understand the whole, oh, because they've got these like weird dry ice machines and then like you come in and it's like Sweet Child of Mine and the Pan Pipes. Do you know what I mean? This is the
it's
least.
The pan
it's always the Pan Pipes. And then it's like, okay, the breathy way of talking. Just relax. You're like, okay, are you like yodeling here? What's the story with that? And then they go like, oh, they give you those little crepe paper boxers, which are more indignifying than genuine nudity.
Yeah.
It'd be less offensive just to be nude rather than wearing those little attissue sort of paper jocks that are like completely, if you even breathe on them, they're completely translucent.
They're gone, yeah.
And then it's like, I'm just going to stand outside if you want to get dressed and they're get undressed and then they stand outside for a good 20 minutes and you're then in there, you're like, hello, look, I'm ready now. Are you comfortable? Of course I'm not comfortable. You've smushed my face into a 3-inch hole like I'm about to give a rim job to a dominatrix. Like, this is just... And then you have to lie with your arms back and upside down. Is that comfortable for you? No, I have never humanly been in this position before since the last time I got a massage. Do you know?
I'm always a bit too big for the table, so my arms just are like perpetually falling off.
Mm.
Get a bit weird. But I do fall asleep during massages.
Do you?
After we got engaged in Greece, we got a couple's massage and I woke up holding the missus's hand. Just asleep.
You sure it was the hand? Me and Darren did a couple's massage on a cruise about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I started making noises and Darren got so angry. It was couple's banter. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast. It's great to be here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time every single week. Wherever you are and whoever you're there with, if you're by yourself, like most of you are, thank you for listening and for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, let me know on Instagram at Megan Mark. Send it to a friend. We're here at the final stretch. I hope you're enjoying the roast of Funny Priest's stories. Let's get into it.
When I was about 10, myself and my sister used to do the church collections on our road. And the priest used to come every Monday evening to collect the collections. And there was one particular time, it was in the summer, we had gone around and done the church collections and come back and we decided to get the water guns out and we were having a water fight. And the priest pulled up and he was good crack, like he was a young priest and he always kind of obviously engaged really well with us or whatever. And so we ran over and said hi and sprayed him with the gun. And he took it really well, just laughed and went in to the parents' house then for a cup of tea. And when he came back out then, after they'd had their cup of tea, collected the collections, and we ran over to say goodbye, and he hopped into the car and we were standing at the door, and I shouted after him, "Enjoy your wet dream, Father."
Jesus Christ. Is that the story? You just heckled a man. That's like... A cliff? What happened then? Also, 10 years of age. I didn't know what a wet dream was until I was doing the Leaving Cert. And even still, by the way, which I famously said I've never had one.
I think they're
the biggest urban myth of all time. I was expecting monsoons, tsunamis in the jocks. Honestly, I was expecting like the dam, the fucking, the levee breaking. The tributaries of the Shannon exploding in my O'Neill's tracksuit bottoms. I thought I was going to wake up one night sodden. Evidently I did, but that's because I wet the bed, so I was like 12. They say it's because I had a nervous disposition. Nevertheless, good God.
I mean, I want to think that she didn't know what a wet dream was and it was just...
Yeah, hopefully it was just an innocent mistake. Yeah, enjoy your wet dream. But if she's doing with this like wink and a smile, no. Bananas levels of... I don't want to say derangement because it's...
Perverse.
Derangement, good God.
Yeah, awful. Absolutely awful.
Let's just shuffle past that one, shall
we? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's go.
Listen, years ago I was at a wedding in, and the priest was related to the bride in some way.
and had been away in the missions. Don't know, that's probably not relevant, but had come back for the wedding, and we were all sitting there in the church, and he decided he'd do a blessing with the holy water. Not something that's normally done at weddings, as you know, but because it was family, he did that. So he's going around with this little bucket of holy water for the Catholics, and he was spraying it with this kind of, I'm sure there's a name for it, but like it was like a stick with a little ball on the end of it. And when he got to the, he did the bride and groom very last. And when he got to the groomsmen, the ball fell off and hit the best man square in his forehead, like, and he ended up like bleeding out of his face, and the whole like church was in ruptures, laughing. There's a video of it, obviously, because it was a video of the wedding. It was comedy gold. I've never seen anything like it.
Interesting. Couple of things here. I wonder, are priests who have been out doing the missions, like when they come back, are they real like cocky? Like people who've been to London. People who've lived in London and come back to Dublin, do you know what I mean? They begin every sentence with like, well, obviously like in London. Well, over in London, would they be real like, yeah, well, in South Sudan. Sorry, Father Dermot, but in South Sudan, like, we begin every day with at least a decade of the rosary. Like, I don't know why every priest is saying Dublin. Do you know what I mean?
They'd have a story to regale at least.
Okay, well, let's get back to the priest walking around with a truncheon with a head on us and spraying people in the face. What? I don't understand this. So the priest is a family friend, and thus he's allowed to bless everybody. And then he's going around with incense. Incense is just where I draw the line. Incense I hate, and incense needs to be eradicated from all culture. It is just, it reminds me of vintage stores and Krusty's. Why is it that every Krusty has to have incense? Do you know what I mean? Oh, we have to light a bit of incense. It all smells the same, by the way.
You spot it from a mile away.
You smell it. Whether it's labelled, by the way, fresh turf, lavender ass or honeydew mist, it all smells the exact same. The same fucking synthetic hedonism that contrived Krusty's use just so everybody in the world knows that they're super, you know, crust.
Yeah.
Oh, like the artisanal food tent. Oh, we've got loads of incense lit. Good stuff. You're going to charge me €17 for sugarless oat cakes that you're going to lie and say they're biscuits. This is a disaster, Krusty's. I hate Krusty's. I'm real anti-crust.
You're not a very crusty person at all.
No.
You're the least crusty person I know.
Yeah. You don't see as many goths these days. I'd be all over goths now.
But goths are cool.
Proper, like the honker, like, you know, the Slipknot hoodie. The white makeup into that. The sort of knee-high, those boots that have the massive stud. I'm all... Goth culture, let's go.
Shops and Asha. That was a great...
Asha was a great one, yeah.
Great one. Yeah.
The sort of Nirvana hoodie, the ball bearings in the forearm.
Yeah. I had a big phase. I had the lip piercings, I had eyebrows done. I really went for it.
You didn't have lip piercings, did you? Was that when you were listening to Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
Which phase was that? Two lip... I was eyebrow. Eyebrow piercing was cool.
Eyebrow piercing was cool, yeah.
Lip piercings is Girl Interrupted. Lip piercing is Angelina Jolie. Do you know?
Yeah.
I like Angelina Jolie. That's not a go. That's not a go at Angelina.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Lip piercing.
So grim.
Anything else?
No.
Were you the sort of boxers over the baggy jeans?
No, God, no. Boxers over the baggy jeans?
Yeah, that was...
Sorry.
That was me, where you'd have like your jeans and then you'd have like...
Oh, I thought you meant like Captain Underpants, like boxers over, like literally.
Yeah,
over.
Of course, when I had the nervous breakdown and I was found on the M50 fucking org, delivering whatever, guiding traffic. Oh, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So me and my wife have two kids and we were looking into getting them christened, and I went up to the local priest and I told him the situation, that we were both women and we wanted to get our two kids christened, and he literally stood and he stared at me for about 30 seconds and everything was just silent. And he turned around and he goes, can one of you be the father for the day?
No.
And I think I laughed in his face. I wanted to slap him up and down the church. Safe to say, we never got him christened. What a wanker.
Good God. Like, of all the things to say to a lesbian, I would say that top three. Without being a lesbian, I don't know, so please correct me if I'm wrong, dear caller. saying, could you not just be the father for a day, is like fairly, you know, 19th century. Good God, have we not like taken at least a tiptoe past that level of archaic bigotry?
Oh, I don't even know where to go with this one.
Well, like, could you not just be the father for today?
Oh, good shout, actually. I'm going to head down to Gant and buy myself a pair of chinos and a fucking jump. You know, I'm going to take up golf. Not that lesbians can't play golf. That's not. But you know what I'm saying? Like, as in, oh my God.
A complete arsehole. I don't know. Like, and again, two straight white guys talking about this, so maybe we just don't understand it, but...
Well, you're the lip piercings, mate. Nevertheless, let's go.
Hey, Mark. We were at a country wedding there recently, and a lot of the people were quite of an equestrian background. And the priest said, about the bride, he said, comes from an equestrian background. She is well used to riding horses, but from now on... she will be riding Kevin. Stunned silence. Looks exchanged. Very weird.
Brilliant. I think fair play to the priest. That's a bit of crack.
That's the bar I want.
That's the bar. Yeah, you'll be getting that. And more. I think that's good stuff. I think you're allowed, no?
You can't be at that now.
You can.
No, you can't.
Horse people just take themselves so serious. I feel like... on the hierarchy of wanker, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got you perched at the top, Mark. Brilliant. But like on the hierarchy of wanker, I think you've got like sailing people, golf people, and horse people. It's just a case of in what order.
Yeah.
Horse people are either of the sort of West Brit variety, or they're like, what's the word you always use? Like toothless simpletons. Isn't that what you always say?
I think so, yeah.
Remember when you were having a go earlier on saying that they shouldn't make this place accessible because it's taking up space? They could have put a juice bar down in the lobby. On your first day in Marconi House, you said, well, that's a complete waste of optimised.
Stand by.
No. Yeah, you could put an ice bath there. Moving people away like you're outrageous. Carry on. Horse people take themselves too seriously.
They do.
Is it true that horse people are all... into that sort of stuff?
I mean...
shagging, like.
Yeah, no.
I heard that apparently all the jockeys and trainers are mad for it.
Really?
Genuinely. That is a true story.
Really?
Yep. Can't tell you who told me it.
Okay.
But let's just say I... nay. Terrible. That's just like, end the podcast, mate. You're done. You're finished. You're having a baby, you're married, you're happy, and as a result of your happiness, you don't have that hunger to be funny anymore. You are content, which is the antidote to good comedy. Mm. Go back in the pints.
Yeah.
Do you fancy? No, that's good luck. Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Weekly Roast. That was a thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Doesn't make sense. Nevertheless, thank you for listening. As always, if you enjoy the show, do me a favour. Rate it wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed. All the subscribers that we have apparently help show it up to more people wherever they listen to their podcasts. So it's a small way of repaying what can only be described as the gargantuan debt you owe me for providing you a brief bit of respite from the often described suffocating, crushing, soul-destroying monotony, the grey, colourless existence that is our consciousness. So if you want to continue having that escape from yourself, you could learn how to meditate, or you could enjoy the weekly roast every single week. Guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you mind yourselves. I hope you're having a good week, and I will speak to you very soon. Any suggestions, send them to me on Instagram at Megan Mark. All the best. And dare I say, God bless.
Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Struggling with erectile dysfunction? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Cialis for Men 10mg film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil, is now available without prescription. Just a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist, in person or online, can help. Find it at pharmacies nationwide or visit www.cialisformen.ie for more details. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity, always read the label.